Tonight on the Mark Wrestling Podcast, we'll be discussing AEW Dynamite and whether Mercedes is actually Monet. We'll also be discussing WWE and their international PLEs. Were the crowd just enthusiastic, or were they mad annoying? Join us today on the Mark Wrestling Podcast.
You're listening to the On the Mark Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, Teode and Lewis. Let's mark out.
Yes, yes, y'all. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all know what time it is. It's On the Mark Wrestling Podcast time, baby. Lewis, what's going on, man?
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? The people, the people, the people. That's who it's all about. The people. It's your boy Lewis on the Mark Wrestling Podcast in full effect with my boy K-Weezy. We took a two-week hiatus because, I don't know, Keyote must have found a side piece somewhere.
My side piece.
You know, I felt like, I felt like our relationship was in shambles. But we're back together. This is a happy reunion.
I didn't tell you about my side piece. I'm sorry about that, my brother. I'll give you that. I'll give you that information next time in detail. I'm sorry, man. Didn't want to leave you like that. Didn't want to leave you like that. But we're back, man. Like Lewis said, this is episode 53. We're rolling right along. And thank you to everybody, the new followers, the new people listening out for us and watching the videos and commenting and liking and all that good stuff. Thank you very, very much for being on this journey with us. You know, we're trying to build this thing and try to bring you just two Mark's opinions and love for the sport and the art form that is pro wrestling. And man, we got a good show, man. We got some things to talk about. Lewis, where do you want to start, man? I'll let you pick. Where do you want to go?
I want to start with WWE's official announcement of WrestleMania 41's location in 2025, because that pissed me the fuck off. I mean, I just got to say it. So, the official location is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes, baby.
The reason why I am pissed off is because I have other things coming down the pipeline, family vacation and other expenses, right? So I just completely ruled out 2025 even before they made the announcement. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to make no plans to travel to WrestleMania, anything like that.
Yeah.
2026, a possibility. And I was under the impression, because of the rumors leading into WrestleMania 40 this year, that next year would be Minneapolis. Well, the interesting development after WrestleMania 40 was that Triple H and company said, we don't really want to do outdoor cold atmospheres anymore. Nah, we're just going to go with the warm places, the warm settings, or at least a stadium or an arena that has a roof. Yeah. So I'm like, well, if they do Minneapolis in 2025, I was also hearing rumblings that Vegas is in the running for the next two or three WrestleManias. And it turns out it's going to be next year. Vegas is going to be so hot.
Yeah.
Like, that is a really, when you think of an event like WrestleMania, there's certain cities that WrestleMania is made for, right? Mm-hmm. So Philly, New York City, LA, when we were out there, I guess, you know, Dallas or Houston, any one of those cities, right? Even Chicago.
Oh yeah.
Las Vegas. They've only done one WrestleMania in Vegas, and that was WrestleMania 9.
Yes, I remember it vividly. Yes.
Yes, and man, I'm a little annoyed. Like, maybe some miracle will happen when I could make it work, but as of right now, I'm going to have to sit that one out, man.
I don't blame you, Lewis. Man, I'm going to miss you in Vegas, brother. I'm going to have to take my side piece on that one. That's my
you're really going to be having an affair.
Yeah, man. I might have to. Man, that's going to be a wild night, wild weekend, man. I listen. I knew this was going to happen. I knew Mania was not going to be in Minneapolis. Like, that's not sexy or attractive, right? Like, it's just not. It's just not. Nah. Who's going to Minneapolis? There's a good chance it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. A tornado. Who knows, right?
Snow.
WWE lucked out this year being in Philly. Like, that was huge risk. It was like 43 degrees as the low in Philly that first night. No snow, no rain, of course, but just it was cold. So they lucked out. You could still sit out there and watch the show. But, man, I won't take that. If I'm H, I'm not taking that chance anymore either, man. I'm going somewhere sunny, somewhere warm. I need beach. I need just plain old sun. I need some sun. So yeah. I'm not mad at the Philly joint, man. 41.
Or a place with a dome, you know, Vegas, because even if the weather is going to be a problem, you know, at least if it has a retractable roof or something like that.
There you go.
But one thing that's interesting to note, too, and then, you know, we'll move on. This will be my last point, is WrestleMania is significantly later than it's ever been.
Right.
It's April 19th and April 20th. Now, it just so happens that next year, Easter weekend is that weekend. So WrestleMania Sunday is on Easter. So that's interesting. That's very interesting because, you know, Easter, I celebrate Easter. I'm Catholic. Yeah, and
my brother, I'm a man.
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's my
Lord and Savior's Day, baby. I don't know if I can go out there now, man.
Well, you know, Easter is the day to rejoice because Christ is risen and all that.
I need to find a church out there, man. I need to...
you can go to your service or your mass and then go to WrestleMania night.
I might have to find a church out there, man. Wow. I mean, Lewis, that's a terrible decision. I don't know.
Triple H's rationale. I was reading, and the rationale was they really wanted Vegas, and they were trying to compromise, right? So WWE wants to shift away from competing with any major sporting events that weekend, namely March Madness and NCAA tournament games and all that. So they wanted to avoid that because they were competing with the NCAA games this year. They want to avoid that. And then Vegas was like, well, if we don't do that first weekend in April, then we'll have to push it back to the first weekend in May, I think it was. And that's also
a
big sporting weekend too, because you usually have a big boxing fight, a big UFC pay-per-view, and the Kentucky Derby, and God knows what else, NBA playoffs. Like that's a huge sporting weekend. Easter weekend, though, is kind of odd to me. I almost feel like they could have done the last weekend in March. If they didn't want to compete with a major NCAA championship game, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like they could have figured out something for like late March.
Yeah, they could have done something late March. I'd even take it. I mean, it'll be weird in the first week of May. I think that's a little too late.
I think that's too late.
Because if you think about it, if they did that, last week would have been Mania at this time. So it's too late. So Easter weekend, are we as wrestling fans that heathenous where we have to go on Easter? We don't give a damn about Easter weekend. We're gonna go out, fly to Vegas, spend all our money, probably do some illegal stuff in Vegas, and on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we walk our behinds to the stadium,
right,
and watch wrestling. Like, are we really those people now, man?
How sacrilegious, right?
How sacrilegious, Lewis. We are terrible people for that. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling the Vegas thing. I mean, the Easter weekend, though.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the timeline either. So if it turns out that I can't go, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try and shoot for 2026 if Vegas doesn't work out. So
listen,
wherever 2026 is, I'll try to make that work.
There's a good chance that 2026. I think H is trying to pull some strings with the mayor of London. to see if they can bring Mania to London, because, you know, Mania be bringing money into these cities, man. These cities are making bank off this, off Mania. All these marks out here spending money on cheeseburgers and drinks and merch and all this stuff. Like, it was subway tickets, bus tickets, Uber. I mean, hotels, anything you can name, those cities are capitalizing off of it. So if I'm the mayor of London, I'm like, yeah, cheerio, come on over here, man. Let's y'all could party here all weekend. So so we're gonna look out for any more, you know, surprise announcements about WrestleMania 41 being in Vegas. But let's take it. You know what, Lewis? I want to go backward. I want to go back to Backlash.
Last
Saturday in Lyon, France. That France crowd was hot. But as you heard in my cold open, were they hot or were they being annoying? Because I've been listening to some podcasts, and people have some mixed feelings about the France crowd. People are saying France was annoying. People were like saying, like, you know, they're singing songs that have nothing to do with matches. they're just being obnoxious. Like, their reactions and emotions have nothing to do with what you're hearing and seeing in the ring. That was the problem. So, I wouldn't say all of it. I'd say a good chunk of it. And I didn't think about that until I was like, you know what? You're right, because I didn't know what they were saying. All the stuff they were saying was in French. So, I had a hard time ciphering, hey, what do you happen to be saying? And, you know, I thought it was great because the wrestlers fed off of that.
Yeah.
You could feel that they were, that hyped them up. Like, Jey Uso's entrance gave me chills.
That was amazing.
It gave me chills.
Like, that was incredible.
Like, this is dope. Like, this crowd is into it. So I will say, like, you know, there were moments where the crowd was into it. They were like, yo, I'm with you. We're gonna do the Jey Uso all night. And then there were parts where they're singing Old France or whatever. And I'm like, yo, this has nothing to do with anything. So I don't know. I did enjoy the crowd. The crowd was hot. The crowd was so hot that it was shaking the hard cam, if you saw that scene.
Yeah.
It was shaking the hard cam. It was
insane.
Loud.
Insane.
So yeah, man. What do you think, man? Loud or obnoxious?
That's very interesting how people thought that the France crowd was annoying. Now, I didn't see the PLE in its entirety, so I just caught all the major clips online. Yeah. And that crowd, that was a phenomenal crowd.
Mm-hmm. Better than Puerto Rico.
And if it wasn't better, it was awfully close. You know what I mean?
What did you say? Better than Puerto Rico?
Yeah, maybe by like a notch. Yeah, because that energy was crazy.
Crazy.
Okay, so my takeaways from the crowd, right, is that you have to put it into the perspective of the international fan, the international audience. They're not getting the global behemoth that WWE is in their home country all the time. True. We are getting it on a weekly basis, like all over the United States. And we're getting PLEs, we're getting Raws, we're getting SmackDowns, we're getting NXTs. And then if you go on the AEW side, we're getting Dynamite and Rampage mm-hmm. and Collision. In Lyon, France, are they getting WWE programming?
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
not
live. You know, they might do a world tour every now and then, but they're really not getting it as often as we are. So if I lived in Lyon and I purchased a ticket to a WWE event fresh off one of the hottest WrestleManias in history, my excitement is going to be off the Richter scale. And if I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of other folks in my section and the section.
We lit.
Oh, it's over. And then I got some drinks in me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it also, it was given like soccer, big soccer match football vibes. Because across the world, football is a big deal. When I say football, I mean football, you know,
football,
like soccer.
Football. Yes.
Right.
Football.
So soccer is a big deal. So like that's what that kind of crowd during the Backlash PLE reminded me of.
Right.
It was like a hot football, soccer-esque crowd where they're just going nuts and they're really passionate. They're singing, they're chanting, they're jumping up and down. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, I think the people that are critiquing the crowd, they gotta chill, bro, because like you can't always have your cake and eat it too. It's either you want a hot crowd or you don't. Because right. when you're watching Raw on a weekly basis, I'm sorry, the crowd is not always hot.
No,
and quite the contrary. Sometimes I'm watching Raw and I'm like, can this crowd wake the fuck up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you made a good point. The wrestlers feed off of the crowd. And you can see it in their work rate throughout the matches. You can see it when they're entering the ring. It's good for everyone when the crowd is hot. And especially when they're singing, they're jumping, they're chanting, they're doing all of that. So I didn't find them annoying that one bit. So what if we didn't understand what they were saying? It added to the spectacle of what you were seeing on your screen.
Exactly.
And that's part of pro wrestling. That's part of entertainment. Like even with sports, you know, the New York Knicks is a good example. They're hot right now. They're in the playoffs. They're winning games. But part of what's making this run special for the Knicks is the fans, the passionate fans,
100%.
how they all have that collective effervescence. Yes. So props to that France crowd. I love those international crowds. Those international crowds are fire.
Yeah, man. Let's give it up to France, man. France doing their thing, letting people know that they out here in these streets, man. Making the spectacle more of a spectacle for the wrestlers and just on. Dude, it just looked good aesthetically, man. WWE, just looked really impressive. Everyone had the lights out. It was just impressive. So I'm not mad at it, but and dude, not to lie, the PLE on paper was like meh.
Yeah.
The show ended up being like okay, pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And it was a sweet spot, like the chef's kiss. It was a sweet spot of 2 hours and 50-minute runtime for that PLE.
Perfect,
Lewis. I didn't feel like I was in a war in my chair. I didn't feel like I had to get up for multiple bathroom breaks. I didn't feel like I had to make multiple snacks to get me through the night. Like it was perfect. It was perfect.
Yep.
I wonder if they go this route where your big five are more US based and the rest of the PLEs are international. Like we have King of the Ring coming up, which will be in Saudi Arabia. So,
it's Saudi Arabia. That's
Saudi
right.
Arabia. So yeah. I wonder if that's the route they're going or if it's just happened to be, it just happens to be this way for right now. What do you think?
Now that you bring that up, that's a strong possibility, K-Weezy, because damn, now that I'm thinking about it, that would not be a bad business model for him, especially with TKO and Endeavor, I should say, especially with other folks that have their hands in the pot now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, UFC is part of that equation, so they want to probably go to places like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Macau, China. You know, they're probably going to want to explore those markets as well, because as hot as mixed martial arts and pro wrestling is in the States, we know that the market is out there internationally too.
Oh, yeah.
People fiend for that kind of shit. So,
can you imagine WWE does a PLE in Japan?
That's what I'm saying. In Japan, they have the Japanese audience may not be as electric as it is in France and London, right. But it's different. And they're going to make a pretty penny out of it. So I wouldn't be mad at that. If they did, for instance, the big five, which is Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the other PLEs overseas. That's not bad at all. Cause it switches it up and you're getting something different every time. So I know that, okay, you got King and Queen of the, that's such a tongue twister.
King and Queen of
the Ring. Left it as King of the Ring, but in any case, King and Queen of the Ring, Saudi Arabia. then where's Money in the Bank? Is it in Canada?
It is in Canada. Yes, I believe it's in Canada.
Okay, so you know, Toronto or wherever they're going to be at is always hot. Like Canada, specifically Toronto, but those Canadian crowds are hot all the time.
Oh yeah.
So you got that.
I'm doing some research. It's going to be July 6th.
Okay.
Toronto, Ontario, Canada, my brother.
Oh, so, yeah. It's a wrap. So, that crowd is going to be bananas.
Yeah.
So you got that. Then you come to Cleveland. And that should, because SummerSlam is always a hot crowd anyway. But Cleveland, yeah, you know, Cleveland is Cleveland, whatever.
Cleveland.
But then I think it's September. It might be Labor Day weekend, right? Where they have Clash at the Castle. Is that the?
I believe so.
And that's where, in Berlin? No.
Clash at the Castle might be in Berlin, actually.
Or is it Bash in Berlin? I know they have a German pay-per-view, or rather a PLE coming up.
Bash in...
Is it Clash at the Castle?
No, Bash in Berlin. That's August August 31st.
Okay. So and Bash in Berlin. That's right around the time AEW's doing All In London.
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't that, yeah.
Wait, is it the same weekend?
Wait a second, man. No.
Oh.
AEW wouldn't do that.
No.
So AEW, wow. Sunday the 21st.
Sunday the 21st?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, I'm sorry. Sunday the 27th. So Bash in Berlin is... Is it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? No, that wouldn't make sense. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at 2023. My bad. okay. So All In London 2024 is the 25th. So they're a week
apart. Okay. They're a week apart. But AEW stupid for putting their All In pay-per-view the following week because that's going to compete that same weekend of... The German pay per view,
yes. Yeah, yep. Which is dumb. I don't know why hold two big pay per views a week from me. I've never heard that before.
WWE has done that in the past, and I think it's the most asinine thing. Like when you put two big events within a week or two of each other, it just doesn't make sense.
But remember, they did that doing it in the States. We're talking about AEW's then got to fly back, do a Dynamite and a Collision, then another.
That's trash, bro.
I'm sorry. I love AEW, but they ain't built like WWE to do that. Like, that's not a thing to do successfully. But I'm not going to lie. Last year's pay-per-views of AEWs was pretty solid. So,
yeah, All In and All Out. They were both really good.
They were good.
And All Out, despite a week of build, it turned out to be a great pay-per-view.
They were good.
But yeah, going back to the WWE International thing, like, so we just laid out the next few months. Yeah. And... The crowds are going to vary, but I think it's a good look. Germany, Canada, the States. I read this interesting article yesterday that I think WWE is trying to broker some adjustment to the deal that they have with Saudi Arabia to bring even more, bigger events. And I heard that the Royal Rumble is being entertained as one of them. Not necessarily for next year, but it could potentially... Saudi Arabia could be a potential host city for the Royal Rumble.
Yo, that Saudi money is no joke. Yo.
Everybody got their hand in that shit. UFC, the boxing organizations, like everybody got their hand in
it. Lewis, I've never seen a nation just have that money. Be like, yo. Give me Royal Rumble, I'll give you $2 billion. Like, like it's that easy.
That simple.
Because
give me WrestleMania, and I'll give you $500 trillion.
Give me WrestleMania. They're just snapping their fingers. Like, they listen, man, that Saudi money is crazy. There's a lot of ethical and moral issues with that country. But that money, though.
Yeah, that money speaks because Vince McMahon speaks. Vince McMahon will always be Vince McMahon, but even Triple H ain't shying away from that shit.
Nah, man, he ain't shying away from that. And that company, they've done so well for the past few years because of that Saudi check, which is like billions of dollars. Forget about their TV rights and all the other stuff they've been doing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Saudi money is crazy. And if they took the Rumble to Saudi Arabia, but see, that's such a major PLE to the point where you're gonna basically not have a good chunk of your American fans there. Because
right.
flying to yeah. Saudi ain't cheap. So
nah. no.
Are you willing to make that risk for the money?
I personally don't think I'm fine with the Saudi Arabia PLEs outside of the major ones.
Right.
But don't do like a SummerSlam, Survivor yeah. Series. Like yeah. don't do any of those because yeah, I mean a flight to Saudi Arabia isn't, you know, that's not exactly like flying from Connecticut to Texas. Like
exactly.
It's a pretty penny.
It's a pretty penny. Yeah. It's your mortgage times two. Like it's ridiculous. But yeah, man, listen, WWE is doing big things, and shout out to the France crowd for just killing it. And because I enjoyed it and I thought they added to it, and actually they kept, it was also because of that crowd that kept my attention. To yeah. some of these matches, right? Because I just was interested on seeing how they were going to react to every person coming out. So, yeah, the PLE was solid. And, yeah. But I, speaking of solid, AEW's been doing their thing. Let's get into that. So the last couple of weeks, AEW, Kenny Omega came back last week and cut probably the best promo of his entire career. He actually dressed the part. He didn't look like a bum that they just asked off the street to come into a wrestling ring and cut a promo. No, he actually looked the part. He sounded great. He looked decent. You know, and that end angle where they attacked him and the lead are they're standing victorious and their hands are up and all this stuff. And the opening to AEW Dynamite where it's only the Elite, which is hilarious. And it was that way. It was the same way this week. I think
it was.
Yeah, I think you don't want to do it too much because then it's like, okay, we get the point. Yeah. But the last week's ending was perfect. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was solid. I think we're getting a pretty damn good angle here. This week, not bad also. But there's a couple of things about the show and some of the wrestlers that I got to point out, Lewis. As you heard in my cold open, I have an issue with Mercedes Moné.
Me too.
AEW has to be, they have to be aware that Mercedes is a heel. Everything she's yeah. saying is a heel.
Yeah.
The way she reacts is a heel. The way she talks is a heel. She's talking about dining in Boston and throwing the first pitch and doing all this stuff. Like just things that a heel would say to glamorize their lifestyle.
yep.
is a heel. Like I don't, so I hope, and then another thing is that she keeps blaming Willow for an injury that was a freak accident that Willow really had nothing to do with, but she keeps putting it on Willow as if it was Willow's fault when it wasn't. That's all heel stuff. So I hope that we're getting that and that AEW is not blind enough to think that, oh, it's Mercedes and we got to start her off as a babyface, because she ain't coming off as a baby face. That's one. And two, I don't know what's happened to Mercedes, and she's never been she's never been good on the promo, but her promos sound really terrible. Like they sound, they sound written to the extreme. They sound unaware. They sound very self-indulgent, which is great for a heel, but the delivery is just not good. Like she just seems very, robotic and just unnatural. That's what it is. She doesn't sound natural. And for her to be in a place like AEW, which allows people to be expressive and open with their promos, she doesn't seem like she's taking advantage of that. Like she seems like she's heavily scripted. And I don't know, man, but is Mercedes turning out to be money, or is she kind of like broke? Because I'm not digging it, bro. And to tell you the truth, man, how we got, what, 2 more weeks before Double or Nothing?
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I feel like it's been dragging. I need to see her do something. I need to see her attack somebody or do something that's like... I need to see the ball rolling with what they're planning to do with her. And then Willow cut a great promo too, man. Willow had a great promo. She's getting better. She's also not someone who I think is the greatest promo or even decent. She's good. She's likable. But yeah, man, what do you think about this Mercedes, man?
So I'll talk a little bit about Mercedes and then touch on Willow. I agree with everything you just mentioned about Mercedes. I think this is dragging out way too much. It's already been two months since she's debuted, okay?
Wow.
And the biggest mistake that they made was presenting her for the fans to perceive her as a bigger deal than what she actually is. And holding off on having her fight in the ring until Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
They should have had her wrestle at Dynasty because at that point she would have been in the company for 4 weeks. And that's plenty of time to like get the crowd excited and get them behind you and give them backstory as to why, you know, a mission statement as to why you're in the company, blah, 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 whatever. When they didn't put her on the card, that was a red flag for me. Because I was like, okay, she has to do something major at the Dynasty pay-per-view then in order to get the fans to buy in as to why she's a big deal. She didn't do shit at the pay-per-view. Willow wins the TBS title and she just comes and has a stare down. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, we got to go the heel route. There's no way that the company is going to continue to book her as a babyface. She doesn't come across as likable like that. She comes across like a real conceited bitch. Yeah. Like if I'm going to just like, I don't know what other terms to put. And I'm saying in terms of character, right?
Of course.
Like she's walking around like this conceited asshole. Right. You know, when you just mentioned, especially with the promo from this week's Dynamite, I'm throwing the first pitch out at the Red Sox game. I'm dining here and I'm doing this, that, and the third. Everything outside of wrestling. Like she's taking a Ric Flair approach. That's how Ric Flair got over, you know, the lavish lifestyle and everything like that. But what have you done since coming to AEW other than run your mouth and wear colorful attire?
Yeah.
You haven't done shit. And AEW, this isn't a WWE audience. They want to see you wrestle, okay? And she always says, I'm in AEW where the best wrestle. You have not wrestled one match since you got here. And it's been 7 to 8, going on 8 weeks. By the time it's Double or Nothing, you better deliver.
Exactly.
Like you and Willow better put on a match of the same caliber that you had with Bayley and NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. Like, it needs to be that caliber at this point because it's dragging too much. And, like, it's not really clicking with me. And shout out to Sir Wilkins and Jobber Tears Podcast. But I had seen this clip several weeks back where they had mentioned that Mercedes, of course, her material was written for her in WWE. So, you know, it came across a little more confident, more natural. Now you don't have the same person. Oh, I mean, I don't know who's writing her material. Supposedly, it is someone who she's worked with or...
Yeah, someone they brought in that she specifically worked with in WWE.
In WWE,
is writing her stuff. So,
okay, so did that person just, like, suffer from amnesia? Like I, because the promos to me ain't hitting. They were okay the first 3 to 4 weeks, right? Because I'm like, all right, let me give it some time. Okay, it's been time. Like we're in the second week of May now. It's just not really doing anything for me because I need to see her do something else and come out with a colorful wig and cut a promo. Like she needs to actually get in the ring and wrestle because that's what you were brought here to do. With on the Willow side of it, I really, really like Willow and she's growing on me with each week. I think this promo that she cut this week was very, very good. It was really effective. She comes across very naturally when she speaks.
Yeah.
That's you know, she may not be like an amazing talker, but it's almost like Bryan Danielson-esque, right? Where it's natural. Like she's speaking and it doesn't come across forced, but she's not going over the top with it either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And like she's very pleasant. So I don't know what it is.
She's got like the Bailey thing going on. NXT. Yeah.
She's like a version of Bailey. You know what I'm saying? And
the only difference is that you know Willow's better looking in the face. That's
right. She's got a really cute face. Great smile. Mm-hmm. Just the presentation overall. And some people might say you know she needs to get into better shape, so to speak, but I think it works for her. She's like this cute teddy bear cuddly teddy bear.
Yeah, I love that you called her a cuddly teddy bear. That's very
yeah, look, I'm all in on Willow Nightingale. I really she looks like she'd be very comforting to be around, even if you're just having a conversation with her. You know what I mean?
Right. Listen, and I think that's why fans gravitate towards Willow.
Yeah.
Is because she seems relatable. She seems like she's a chick that you can meet out and she's at a wrestling convention. She's a nerd. You're a nerd. You talk about wrestling and boom, y'all are friends now. Y'all are following each other on Instagram and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I believe, I think if they go in the route that Mercedes turns heel at Double or Nothing, I think we're heading in the right direction. If she doesn't, then they are tone deaf to what Mercedes should be. Because I'm afraid that they're going to get out there and they're going to start booing her when she's trying to be a baby face. I think they're going to start booing her. So
they need to.
They're going to run into that issue. And
this is a Vegas crowd too. So they're
not going to hold back. They ain't gonna hold back. But what I want to also get into is Dynamite. You know, we have now the Anarchy. Well, a lot of things happen on it, but I just want to hit on one more major point. Right, we're getting Swerve. We're gonna get the Swerve and Christian for the World Heavyweight Championship, which I like, by the way.
Yeah, it's something different.
Do you feel Swerve feels like a champion these last few weeks? I don't know. I like what they're doing. I like that the embassy turned on him last night. I like that. That cuts off Swerve from the embassy now, officially. But I just feel like I feel like his presence and his promo feel a little subdued. I don't know. I feel like even the crowd in some cases have gone from level 10 to maybe 8. Like it's just subtle. It's very subtle. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this match will help. Maybe Christian really puts him over big time. I don't know. But I just been feeling like Swerve these last couple of weeks has been booked very questionable. Just my thoughts about this, about Swerve, and then I'm feeling this anarchy in the arena. Some people say they rushed it. I feel like it's just fine. Get it done. Put him in there. I don't think you need to stretch it out any longer. You could do multiple things with the stories amongst people, but I like this anarchy in the arena joint. I'm digging that.
Yeah, anarchy in the arena and Stadium Stampede, like all of those matches that AEW has done over the years, those are fun, you know. And because they don't do them all the time, they literally do them once a year. So, yeah, I think it's fine. You know, it's just going to be utter mayhem, and I'm all for it. Yeah. So sometimes in wrestling, you just need those matches where logic goes out the window and it's just pure fun. You know, you don't have to overthink it. Of course, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but man, over the years, if you think back to all of those types of matches, like Anarchy in the Arena, Stadium Stampede, they're all fun, man. They're fun. And the crowd has a great time to eat them up. Stadium Stampede, obviously, when it started, it was, you know, there wasn't no crowd, but it was fun. It was just fun.
Oh yeah.
So I think they'll be just fine, because then that'll lead to Blood and Guts eventually, because mm-hmm. They always do that. So yeah, I mean, the Elite, they're going with the NWO angle, taking over the company. We'll see in the long run if it really sticks. They're trying.
I'm digging the Elite right now, man.
They're throwing shit on the wall and you know, just seeing what sticks.
The Elite is the best thing on AEW television right now.
Think so too.
Their whole thing is I'm digging it. I believe it. They are leaning heavy into it.
Because they're playing themselves. It's not really a gimmick. Like, right. So the Young Bucks, a thing about the Young Bucks is that they've always, for the duration of their career, and this is coming from someone who's listened to their book. Like, you know, I read the book, but, you know, I listened to it. They've always fed into the narrative that they were these arrogant pricks, which they actually aren't. But that was how they were always perceived by the veterans when they first broke into the business. So they just played along with that narrative for years and years and years. And that's how they built up that reputation. So they're just leaning into what the perception is, that they're two punk douchebags. They're not really, you know, they're playing into reality almost, you know what I'm saying? In real life, I don't really think that they're that way, they're just playing into the narrative that that's who they are. Like, right. They're these pricks.
Yeah,
lack of a better term.
Well, Lewis, it works. It's working. But what do you think is the booking of Swerve so far, man? Do you? It's too early to tell where they're going.
It might be too early to tell, because he only just won the title, what, 3 weeks ago,
two weeks ago.
Yeah. I think it's a little unfair if we say that it's garbage or it's underwhelming. Like, we got to give it a little bit of time, right?
I think if it doesn't pick up after this title match with Christian,
Then I can say that maybe they put the title on them too soon, or maybe people were behind him chasing the title versus him actually carrying the title.
Right.
Because the money is always going to be in the chase. Wrestling 101.
Look at Cody's story.
Yeah, and Cody's title reign isn't overly exciting right now. No. So you got Cody and Swerve, world champions of their respective companies, but the excitement was when they were chasing the champion. Right. Now that they have the belts, it's like pretty good. But nothing exceptional. Nothing that I can't miss if I do miss it on television.
True. And Cody and AJ at Backlash did have a great match, man. They had a very good match. But I hope that's not what Cody... I hope, you know, there's always a lull after Mania. So I hope they start to pick it up a little bit, because I don't want to see Cody in just good matches. I want to see Cody tell me more stories. Like, what... So now that you got the title, what's the goal? You want to be the greatest now? You want to be better than your dad? How do we get there to make it more entertaining? So the match was good. It just wasn't – there was no story for me that I cared about. And I think that's what's going on with Swerve. Right now there's no story. We're just getting good matches, and I hope that after Christian – we get something brewing here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Christian Cage is an interesting first major opponent for him in terms of a long-term story angle, because Christian Cage is over as a heel, and he's built this stable around him, you know, with Mama Wayne and Luchasaur, Killswitch.
Killswitch.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So there's interesting things there. But I want to see what they do after Christian Cage. Like, who else would his opponents be? Yeah. I would like a heel version of Hangman Page to come back and go after Swerve.
I don't want to see that again, man. I think even though it was entertaining and it was
good. But what I'm saying is, like, a full-on heel Hangman Page against a babyface. Yeah, because remember when they were having all of those barbaric matches last year, Swerve was the heel. You know what I'm saying? True. So this would, it would be booked differently. Where right. like Hangman just has this obsession, the obsession that just won't go away. I feel like Hangman and Swerve could be like one of those feuds in pro wrestling that it's on and on and on again, off and on again, off again for a number of years, kind of like Randy Orton and Triple H, or John okay. Cena and Randy Orton, like Brandon one of those Austin, things.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Oh, okay. They could always revisit it because those two have amazing chemistry.
They have see that's the thing. They have great chemistry, man. Their matches yeah. a bit were fire, but for me to be entertained by that again, Hangman has to come back different. Like he.
Yeah.
You know, Swerve's different. Swerve's the champion. He's got a little more swag and gravitas now. So I need to see a different Hangman if we're going to run this back for another match or two. Like, I can't see the same thing. It just gets boring. It's like, been there, done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, we shall see. But AEW, so far, not bad. You realize week to week the number of people were missing, right? Like this week we didn't get Moxley, there was no Ospreay, there was no dude, have we even seen Undisputed Kingdom? Like
I forgot about them.
The women's side, injuries plaguing everyone. There's a lot of names we have not seen, and they were still able to put on a good show every single time. But with those names, man, you know, AEW's formula is like, yo, we stick you in there and you become hot for a couple of weeks, and then you pluck you out and you disappear for 3 weeks. Then we pluck you back in for a week. Then we take you out for 4 weeks. Like, they can't be doing that, man. You got to make this consistent. And Ospreay, as the baby face of the company, which in my opinion, he needs to be on TV three weeks out of the four. Like, I need to see Ospreay.
I need to see him every week.
Yeah, exactly, in some capacity, right? And Lewis, plus he's got a match with Roderick Strong at the pay-per-view at Double or Nothing they have yet to really start develop. Like, this is for a title. So, you know, he should have been on doing an in-ring promo or vignette, something he should have done. To have him off TV, I don't know. I feel like that's... they're doing a disservice to his growth as the man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's those inconsistencies that bother me with AEW, because those inconsistencies are what's leading to it being the company that is. It being it's no longer can't miss television for me. Like I still you know, want to make it a priority to watch it on Wednesday night, but it's no longer like, I gotta see it, you know, because you're missing so many stars and it's those inconsistencies. But I'm reading the viewership from this week's Dynamite. There was a slight uptick. There was a slight increase.
What did it look like?
It was 711,000, up from 703,000 from the previous week. So
interesting. Okay,
it's an increase nonetheless. It's not exactly 800,000 like they've been averaging this year, but
damn, 711,000 for Dynamite. God, that's terrible. That's not good, in my opinion. Like, that's not.
I mean,
for AEW, I guess.
Look, I am gonna go down the excuse route. NBA playoffs and NHL and there's other stuff right now going on. So. Yeah. Because the Knicks did play last night.
The Knicks played last night.
So
I don't think the Rangers played last night, but there was a hockey game on last night. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it makes sense. Well, Lewis, is there anything else we need to talk about? I think we got off the hot stuff this week. I will end with this. I need Britt Baker back in my life, and I can't believe I'm saying this.
Oh man,
I think the company needs her. To tell you the truth, I think the company and the women's division need a jolt of major star. And I think they may be saving that for All In, Mercedes versus Britt Baker. All In, biggest crowd, AEW history. I think that's going to be the main event. I'm not the main event. I think that will be a major match at All In.
Yeah. You could be right, my friend.
Yeah. So listen, y'all, this is Akiole and Lewis. This is On The Mark Wrestling Podcast, Scriptly Adapted Production. We're back. This was episode 53. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. The videos are up. You get to see our faces and all that stuff. We're at On The Mark Wrestling or On The Mark Wrestling Podcast. You'll find us. You'll see us with Akiole and Lewis. I think that's it, y'all. Peace out.
Peace out, everybody.
You've been listening to the On The Mark Wrestling Podcast, a Scriptly Adapted production. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at On The Mark Wrestling and email us at onthemarkpodcast@gmail.com.